Praise the Lord. God is so good. I want to thank the Lord for being here, not only in the sense of being here today, but also being a part of this body. You know, it's a blessing for me and my wife to be here because this is our family. This is home. And as you guys know, about 3 years ago, we came here. We committed to be a part of this body, and God moved us in such a miraculous way of really going all over the place to share the testimony of what happened to me. But this is still home. You know, you guys that come on a Wednesday night and sometimes on a Sunday night, you see me here quite often. Sunday mornings, usually I'm somewhere else ministering in the sense of representing Jesus Christ, but also the representing by His Word. Everybody knows that this is our home, and we make sure that they hear at least a quote or two from our pastor through what we tell them. And so I want to thank everybody, you know, that has really been supportive, not only in the sense of financially, but also in prayer wise. See, your prayers go a long way. I know, I seen them. You know, I experienced prayers passing me as I was going on to be with the Father and Jesus. So I know the power of prayer. And I know sometimes don't do it as often as we should, but I'm telling you, when you do it, it's powerful. It moves mountains more than you realize. It moves mountains. You know, before I get started, I want to thank my wife and Antoinette for singing. I asked them to sing a song, and she was so obliging. You don't know my wife. You know, some of you know her, so she was so obliging to be able to come up here and sing, and I just want to thank her for that. I have my two grandsons with me this morning, Kyrie and D'Angelo. Why don't you stand up? These have been my ministering partners for the last few weeks. You can sit down. Literally, they have helped me minister for the last few weeks in a number of the places that we've been. I remember one place we were over in Spokane and just felt like I should intercede. So we went and interceded for the whole service, and it was a 3-hour service. And D'Angelo, Kyrie tried, but he fell asleep. But D'Angelo stayed with me the whole time praying in tongues for the service. And he's only 13 years old, so you know the power of God moving in that type of situation. So that was really just something. So now I have them come up, and most times, no, pray for me. Make sure you're praying for me as I'm ministering, you know, because God is doing miraculous things. I want to, before I get into the message today of what God wants me to speak about, I want to talk a little bit about the ministry, tell you where it's going, because this is our home church, and you guys do support us. And I always feel like I need to come back and give you a little bit of report of what's going on. Many of you know that we wrote a book, In Heaven, Experiencing the Throne of God. It'll be a year old come September, but God has done such miraculous things with it in the sense of reaching the world, not just the United States, but the entire world. The group that went with me to Singapore know this, and some of you that heard our report know this, but I want to make sure that you're here this morning understand that God literally had it where the book is now being printed in Malaysia and being sold in Singapore as we're standing here right before you this moment, okay? That's Jesus. That wasn't part of my marketing plan. I didn't put that together. That's what Jesus did. Not only did he put that together in the sense of being sold over in Singapore, it's being translated into Indonesian. So it can be sold into the Indonesian language right now. I mean, into the Indonesian language. For you that don't know this, but that's the fourth largest country in the world, and it's Muslim. Do you understand what I'm saying? And God has a marketing plan that beats anybody's marketing plan. Because I don't know how much it would have took for our wisdom to try to get a book like this in that country. And yet God has opened up that country to be able to receive this book in their own language so that they can read about what Jesus Christ is doing. Not what he will do, not what could be, but what he is doing right now. So God has opened up that country. We also have the book being translated into a Indian language, not Hindu, but another one. And I heard it's the language that really the Caliban speak mostly. And so someday I expect some Caliban guy to come up to me and says, I read your book. Is that good news or is that good news? You know, that's good news. And then also it's being translated into Malay, and also Spanish. Down in Peru, they've got to work with a group down there that's putting it. And that's only in, you know, what, we got 10, 11 months. God is doing this with this book. It's going around the world. The other thing, it's also being translated into Mandarin, because someone in the underground church in China got a hold of it, and they thought it was such a good book that they want to translate it and make sure the underground church in China has a copy of this. You know, I own the rights to the book, so I can have it go wherever I want it to go. I recently, and some of you would say this is not a smart move, but I did get my advisors, Pastor John and Pastor Jan and other people. But I had a big company come to me and say, hey, we want to take your book and we want to publish it. You know, one of the well-known name people. And I turned them down because I didn't want them to stop me from being able to put it where God wants it to be. Do you guys hear me? Because I'm not going to be making no money off of the underground church in China. But people are going to get born again. And I've heard people say this to me. They said, aren't you afraid that someone will steal it? And I said, oh, that really goes along with Satan's plan, don't it? Someone steals it and someone gets born again. Oh, he's really doing a great job, ain't he? Is that good news or that good news? You know. So that's where it's going around the world. God is moving it just miraculously. I just recently brought on a person to help me manage it because it's much bigger than I could ever imagine and manage. God has me going to so many meetings. Sid Roth, you guys that know him, has literally featured it on his newsletter this month. And this is what he said. This is the best description and insight of heaven I've ever read. And you guys that know Sid Roth, that's a big endorsement right there. You know, and so God is just moving miraculously with this book. We have them out in the foyer for a donation of $15. But I always tell people, if you can't afford it, just take one. You know. The people around me say, how come you keep on giving them away? Why not? I'm serious. You know what I mean? Me and my wife said, how much money do we need to live on? You know, if this book does anything that pastor has predicted it would do, it's going to bring in millions. And I don't need $1 million to live on. I'm just being honest with you. You know, I've been to heaven. I've seen it. I know what it's like. And nothing on this planet compares to what God has for us. So I wish more of us could have get that revelation so that we wouldn't grab onto this world as tight as we are. It's a whole different story. And you know, couple of testimonies from it that I want to talk about. One was a lady that told me recently that they were discussing the story and discussing what happened to me at the same time that their dad was dying, was leaving this body. And they were in a room, and he was in the room too, and the family was in there, and they were literally talking about the things that they have read in the book and they heard me say. And they said they got to the part where it starts talking about the throne room and how I experienced the praise before the throne. And the father literally went like this when he was when they were talking about, because it was joy in the room. It was not sadness. It was great joy. And he went, and he was gone. And he had a big smile on his face. And I say, Lord, there's nothing in my thinking that would ever come to my imagination to think that you would use this to, you know, comfort a family during a time like that, that they would rejoice. And he would go on a moment of them discussing what God has done. Is that good news? You know, that amazes me. The other thing is a friend of mine, some of you know him, Aaron Auer. He has a little daughter called Gabby or Gabriella. And she wrote a book. She's in first grade, and she wrote a book when Dean Braxton was in heaven. And she wrote this little book, and it was read in her first grade class. You guys hear what I'm saying? And it's a very good descriptive book. And I'm thinking, God, I could never get into a first grade class to tell people about you. Because of the way our schools are. And here's a little girl wrote a little book and it got into the first grade class. Praise God. You know. So I'm sharing that with you just to know that God is doing miraculous things with this book, and it's going all over the place and it's doing what God wants it to do. You know, no more, no less. You know. So I'm just amazed about this. They're out in the front. And so I want to get going because I got other things to talk about this morning that I really believe God has laid on my heart. For us to be here is an honor, like I said, because we are traveling so much. This year we've done over probably 90 meetings already. That means we've been in different places speaking about the word of God or God in 90 different places. That's a lot of places. I don't know if you know that. I'm on the road quite often. How would I put it? I'm glad that we have a little place and have a little backyard. It takes me 5 minutes to mow my backyard. I remember I resisted it because, but the Holy Spirit said, you're not going to have time to mow no grass. So you might as well just go ahead and get a little place with a little backyard. And the front yard is taken by care of by the people that own the place we live in. But I can understand it now because I'm in and out so much. I remember in 1 month, I was in my bed maybe four times. Because God has us moving, you know. And that impacts you guys due to the fact that wherever we go, we represent by His Word. I tell everyone out there that, yeah, there's Braxton International Ministries, but it's under by His Word. If you read my bylaws, I took them directly from Victor. Because Victor is one of my mentors, and he's helped me really to manage what we're doing. And in his bylaws, he gets a clause in there that if there's a dispute between him and the board, that Pastor Jan would be the one that'd be the arbitrator. And then that he and the board would agree to what Pastor Jan says. How many 501c's would do that? Do you understand what I mean? That's really putting yourself under authority. Well, I took the same phrase and put it into what we have as our bylaws. So we are a part of by His Word, but we're under the ministry of by His Word wherever we go. And I do not forget that. I wish more of my colleagues that do this would get plugged into a church and that they would understand by being plugged into that church, God can use them even more mightily. A lot of people want to be so independent and get their own ministries and go out there and do their own thing. And then they wonder why it isn't working. Well, I pray that God would use the example of what He's done for us in the last few years as an example of do what Dean is doing. He's plugged into the by His Word. I'm submissive to Pastor Jan and Pastor John and Pastor John. You know, really. I really am. And when they tell me not to do something, I don't do it. I don't go to God to try to override them. You guys hear what I'm saying? Because many of us got independent spirits and we want to go get a higher court so that we go to the supreme being and say, can you override them? Not understanding He's the one that set up the whole structure in the first place. Now, and we talk about that, our church, so much, and I really don't like it when we say church needs to do. I said, God's church ain't doing nothing like that. That might be man's church, but God's church ain't broke. You guys hear what I just said? He didn't have a church that's all broken apart. He didn't build one on this planet to be broken apart. Matter of fact, He says that the gates of hell will not prevail against His church. I don't know whose church are they talking about, but they're not talking about the church I belong to. You know, He's the one that put the structure together, not me. I didn't come up with the structure. I didn't come up with the plan. He did. You know, if we could grab that a little bit more, you know, most of us would receive what He wants us to receive. And there's a lot He wants us to receive, more than we could ever imagine. Because if you would have asked me if this would have been happening to me a few years ago, or me and my wife a few years ago, it was not in our plan. Wasn't even our thinking. Tomorrow, really, what God is doing in our lives, I really do not have even the thinking power to come up with what the plan would be. Do you guys hear what I just said? Because many of you trying to plan out tomorrow and God's already got a better thing for you. But you can go with your plan. That's okay. You know, I'm just being honest with you. I feel like the Lord wants me this morning to do something, and that's really to go through the testimony. Some of you heard it. Some of you read it. But I feel for some reason this morning God is saying, I want you to go through the testimony. You that haven't heard it before, you that haven't seen it before, you that have not come in contact with it. About 4 years ago, 2006, I always say Cinco de Mayo Day, okay? I died. What do you mean you died? I mean I left this body and went to be where the Father in Jesus is. For me, I shout and I scream and I'm jumping on the inside of me because you don't understand something. I understand that in reality, when I left this body, I went to be where the Father in Jesus is. You that know Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior, you that accepted Him in your life, guess what? You have the same thing going to happen to you. No, that's good news. You know, if I don't say anything else, if I don't pronounce another word correctly, if I don't say anything that you understand, understand this. If you know Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior, if you have accepted Him into your heart, that the day that you leave this body, you will be with Him. I didn't come up with the rule. I didn't make the plan. Do you understand? If I had made the plan, some of you may not make it. I'm telling you right now. But about 4 years ago, when I left this body, that's where I went. No one had to tell me how to get there. Oh, you don't grab that one. That is so precious that our Lord Jesus Christ has made a way for you that no one else has to tell you how to get there. He is the way. If you don't know anything else, you know this. You know how to get there. Praise God. What happened was I ended up with a kidney stone, a little kidney stone. You know, most kidney stones don't do what that kidney stone did to me. You guys hear me? Most of the time when people end up with kidney stone, they get it blasted and then they get it out of their system and that's the end of it. You understand? They may take some medicine just to ward off the pain because it is a very painful situation. Many of you in this room, I know you've gone through that situation. You know? But the bottom line, what happened also is I had an infection. And when the doctors went in to blast the stone, they really didn't check their medical records like they should. And when they blasted the stone, they literally pushed that infection throughout my body and my body shut down. It's in the book, the medical records. You know, I put them in there raw. The reason I put them in there raw, I couldn't get a doctor or a nurse to write a statement due to the fact that they were so afraid of being libeled if I go to court, that I would bring them in court and then use them as a witness to say that these people killed me. Oh. Let me put it this way. They made a mistake. Doctors don't do that all the time, but they made a mistake, okay? And they didn't want to be a part of any lawsuit later on. Well, it's like, I wasn't going to use it as a lawsuit. In reality, all they did was get me into a better place. You hear what I'm saying? So I'm going to come back and try to take their money because they got me into a better place. Does that make sense? Don't make no sense at all. You know, so it's in there raw. And every medical person that's read it, every doctor that's read it, everyone that works in that type of field, every time they read it, they say something. Man, you were tore up. You were messed up. You had all kinds of issues going on with your body. Because they can pronounce the words. I can't pronounce all the words. I remember when Kenyon was helping me put the book together. He said, man, make sure every one of these medical words are correct. I said, how am I going to do that? I don't know how to spell most of them myself. And so we got online and we made sure that every one of them were correct. You know, and I listened to these medical people many times tell me, man, you were messed up. If that didn't kill you, this should have killed you. If that didn't kill you, this should have killed you. If that didn't kill you, that should have killed you. When you go through the records, you find out there were 29 different things that went wrong with this body. 29 different things that went wrong with this body. One of them being healed is a miracle. And because of the prayers of my wife and others, standing in the gap, getting the results they want. That's what standing in the gap means. Stand in until you get the results you want. You know, most of the time we don't stand in the gap, but we don't want to put in the sacrifice that it takes. My wife sacrificed. What did she sacrifice? Time. Her time. What do you mean she sacrificed her time? Did she spend a lot of time with you at the hospital? No. She spent a lot of time in prayer. That's what she did. She put time in prayer when her body was worn out, when she was so tired, when she couldn't hardly move. And she spent time in prayer. That's sacrifice. What else did she do? She put a little note up on the door that said, or on the curtain that said, no one enters into this room without Mrs. Braxton's permission. She wasn't going to let anybody in the room that did not have the faith to believe that I could be healed. Do you guys hear what I just said? She sacrificed friends. Because some people came with their war stories of how Aunt Susie or Aunt Martha or my daughter or my dad went through this and man, it didn't work out. She wouldn't let them in. Matter of fact, they would come up to the room and she said, visiting hours is over. That offends people. That makes people upset. Because she stood on the word of God and she was not going to let anything come in that room or around me that had not that same belief. She told the nurses that they would not turn on the TV to watch the TV programs that they wanted to watch. Because they'll turn it on, you go in those hospital rooms, you've been in there, Jerry Springer's on. You know what I mean? Oprah's on. I know some of you like Oprah and you're glad that she's around, but I'm telling you, she ain't speaking life. I'm just being honest with you. You say, don't put her down, you don't know. All I know is she is not speaking life. So she didn't want no TV program on because she wanted life to come into that room. That's what she wanted. And guess what? She got the results she wanted. I stand before you. God has opened the doors for us to go around the world and share the testimony to so many different people. The book is going all over the place because she got the results she wanted. Is that good news? You know? Most people think you just get there. They don't understand. It's a price you pay to get there. Some of you get words of knowledge or words of wisdom over here telling you you're getting ready to go into ministry and God's getting ready to do something for you. And before you even want to go through the price that it's going to take to get there, you jump over and start running. Right. It's going to cost you something. Amen. It costs Jesus something for you to be born again. Amen. Think about it. So all 29 things, what happened? They all got healed. All 29. No. All 29 got healed. No. Let me go one more time. All 29 got healed. I ain't coming up here with only five healed and dragging the leg because it didn't work. You hear what I'm saying? I ain't coming up here telling with only 14 healed and the eye ain't working. You know? All 29 got healed. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, 13, 14, 15, 16, 17, 18, 19, 20, 21, 22, 23, 24, 25, 26, 27, 28, 29. She got the results she wanted. She just didn't want her husband back into this body. She wanted him totally healed. Is that good news or is that good news? Now, I say that a lot. I like the way this one lady said recently. I was at a conference and she said, the good news means more than just good news. It means the power of God, which really means that if you grab it and you know it's good news, all of a sudden now you got the power of God to do what it needs to be done in that area because you grab it and you know it's good news. Some of you need healing. It's good news. I stand before you telling you it's good news. You have the power to be healed. Whoa. And I'm not going into all those other things. I remember my wife saying the doctors came up to her and gave her all kinds of bad reports. And she didn't argue with them. She didn't fight with them. She didn't tell them they were liars. Do you hear me? She said it doesn't have to be that way. Oh, no. Did you grab it? It doesn't have to be that way. Is that good news? See, we're born again. We know Jesus Christ is Lord and Savior. He is in our lives. It doesn't have to be the world's way. Those people that don't know Him, it has to be that way. But us that know Him, it does not have to be that way. I know some of you ain't heard me preach or seen me preach in the last few months and say, that boy is doing something he ain't done before. I just taken pastor's animation and put it into the Braxton form. It's still there. I'm still animated just like him, you know. I just put a little bit more soul into it, you know. John, the 14th chapter, the first through the sixth verse, signature verse, the one I go and I can't get away from, the one that stands on the walls of this building and out there on the sign. Let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions, dwelling places. If it were not so, I would not have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go to prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you to myself, that where I am, there you may be also. And where I go, you know, and the way you know. Thomas said to him, Lord, we do not know where you are going. How can we know the way? Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. That statement right now is being outlawed not only in countries that don't believe that Jesus Christ is the only way, but it's also being attacked in our own country. I was in Fort Lewis recently, ministering in their prison at a Protestant service. And we were told at the end of the service that we could not give an altar call for those soldiers to come to know Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. You're saying to me, that's America. Those are prisoners. Wouldn't we try to, this would be the very group we would want to know Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. The Chinese are taking Christian ethics and trying to employ them within their country without Jesus because they see the value of having those ethics. And yet in America, we can't even say that Jesus is the way and let people know that Jesus is the way in our own prisons in the military right now. Do you know that's going to spread to the other prisons? Because they always start things in the military. You guys know what I'm talking about. Military is the guinea pigs. You know what I'm talking about? Once they get away with the military, they move to the other areas. So saying Jesus Christ is the way is becoming more and more under fire. When I was in Singapore, they had a law called the Harmony of Religion. Those guys that went with me know what exactly I'm talking about. It was that you could not say Jesus is the only way. He is a way. When I died, when I left this body, I went to be where the Father and Jesus is. He looked at me, saw himself inside of me, and I was in. Yeah. Did I make up the rule? No. That's just the way it is. If you don't know Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior, you're not in. Right, right. Oh man, you are so hard. Isn't there a gray area? Isn't there a purgatory? Isn't there a waiting area? So us that could think about it when we die so that we can get there and we can say, okay, maybe I changed my mind. There is a Jesus and I can get in. No, there isn't, you guys. Either you accept him on this planet or you don't accept him. And if he's not inside of you when you're there, guess what? You don't stay. And you go to hell. I didn't make the rule. I didn't come up with the plan. I was not on the council when God was coming up with this plan on how to develop salvation for men and women on this planet. He didn't come to me and say, Dean, I've got a plan here. I'm going to send my son down on that planet so that they can come to know me as the real Lord and God and have fellowship with me. Do you got any suggestions on how to do that? Think about what I just said. Because many of us would have gave a different suggestion. We would have made sure we met the criteria in the suggestion. But we would have gave a different suggestion. He didn't come to me, Ted, and say that. You know, I'm not on his high council. You understand what I'm talking about? Like some of us think we're on the board over God's kingdom. No. Hear what I'm just saying, because we try to change the rules a lot on how God wants to do things. And they are rules. They're commandments. Commandments are rules. Do you understand? And we try to get our vote in there sometimes. You know, we hoping he's listening to our vote. God, I'm voting. I'm voting. No, don't be that strict on that issue because that's my issue. Get someone else's issue. But he looked at me, saw himself inside of me, and I was in. I didn't come up with the rule. You didn't come up with the rule.
Right.
Whether you believe it or not, that's the way it is, you guys. If I can get anything across, I want to get that one thing across. It doesn't matter whether you believe I went or not. It doesn't matter if you believe anything I say about the testimony or going to heaven or being there with the Father and Jesus. Really doesn't matter as long as you know Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. Because if you know him as Lord and Savior, you will go. He's not going to get you up there and say, hey, Billy Joe, you didn't believe Dean, you ain't in. It ain't going to happen. He ain't going to get there, Bruce, and say, Bruce, you know, you didn't believe everything Dean said, so you don't get in. He's going to look at you, see himself inside of you, and you're in. That simple. That's the way it is. Whether I believe it or not, that's the way it is. That's the way it is. Whether you believe it or not, that's the way it is. It's like I like to tell people sometimes, people don't want to believe it. They don't want to believe there's air. That's okay. They're still breathing. It's the way it is. We don't have to apologize for it. We don't have to make excuses for it. You know, a man yesterday was telling me how his neighbor was coming to him. And he had heard this testimony. He said, yeah, Dean, you're right. That's the way it is. So I was telling my neighbor, the only way to heaven is through Jesus Christ. My neighbor was telling me, well, I don't like that. Well, it doesn't matter whether he likes it or not. That's the way it is. He said, my neighbor left that car because he was talking to him through the window. And he left the car. He was upset. He was mad. He was not happy. With the answer or the way that this friend of mine let him know that Jesus Christ is the only way to heaven. But it doesn't matter. When he gets there, he can say, the guy's named John. He said, John offended me in the way he told me, Lord. Doesn't matter. He ain't getting in. If he don't know Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior, he's not getting in. So when I got there, Jesus looked at me, saw himself inside of me, and I was in. What did I do when I first got there? I went to the feet of Jesus. This statement I'm getting ready to say is still so profound in me. It still rings in me. I still shout after 4 years. Because when I looked at him, I said these words, you did this for me. Yesterday I was praying for a lady, and she said, I use those words whenever I think about how good Jesus is to me, that he does it for me. She was telling about how she had ringing in her ears or this whishing noise in her ears. So I and two other guys were ministering to her, and she said it went away, and all she could think is, you did this for me. You know, she got it. It was more than just looking up there and realizing that he died for me so that I could be with him. It was more than realizing that literally all the works that I've ever done is him working through me, and that I couldn't take credit for any of them. It was everything that he has ever done that I exist on this planet to the moment that I accepted him as Lord and Savior. He did for me. You come to that realization that you can't take credit for nothing. Someone said, I accepted him. He pursued you. Yes. He went after you. Someone said, I found him. He was never lost, never been lost. He's never come down on this planet and looked for a guide to get around. We are the ones that were lost. We're the ones that he went after. You read in your Bible, in Luke, you know, it tells you over and over in Luke of these examples of how Jesus pursued people so that he can bring them in to have a relationship with him. Ah! And how many of you were so hard-headed? How many times did he have to go after you? You know? I always hear that if we don't get the young ones saved, that they'll never come to know Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior later on in life, because that's when they usually do it, when they're young. Well, I'm finding out there's so many elderly people that have come to know Jesus Christ in their last years. And you know what the saddest thing about it is, when I'm ministering to them, this 87-year-old man was telling me how he just came to know Jesus Christ. 87 years being on this planet without Jesus. Yes, he'll be in heaven with the Father. Yes, he'll enjoy the things that the Father has for him. But 87 years of being on this planet without Jesus. Us that know Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior, we don't know how good we have it sometimes. We think it's bad when something goes wrong. We don't know. It could be worse. You understand? We have hope. You know? And not just the hope that says, I hope it gets better. The hope because it was already taken care of before. Is that good news? So when I said those words to him, you did this for me, it meant more than just a couple words put together. I understood what he had done for me for my entire existence. Someone said, your entire life? I said existence, the day I was conceived. See, I came to understand something. I came to understand something the day I was conceived, the day I was put together, that something else was created by God at the same moment. You know what it was? Love, just for me. love just for me. I used to tell people I looked at his feet and his feet loved me. I used to tell people I looked at his hands and his hands loved me. I looked in his eyes and it seemed like he only loved me. And all this stuff, and I was overwhelmed by just the love he had for me. And I've come to understand that that was the creative love that he created at the same moment that I was put together. And no one else can receive it but me. I came to understand that when the healing takes place, literally, it's his love for you that's going through somebody
right. So
that you can receive it. And it's his love for you. It was created when you were created. So I came to understand that when I said, you did this for me, it was more than just he died on the cross. It was more than just he worked through me. It was the day I was put together. He created love just for me. Is that good news? People always tell me, I want to know the heart of God. I want to know what he's doing. I want to know what he's up to. Like he got a secret place and he's keeping you out of it. I'm going to tell you right now, if you're out of it, it's because you're keeping yourself out. That's the truth. You know, bottom line, someone may say, well, I'm not trying to keep myself out. There may be something in you that you need to take care of that's keeping you away from seeing what God wants to do. Pastor's been up here ministering so much about speaking in tongues and praying in tongues. Since I first came here, since I first stepped into these doors, he's saying, I have gotten so much revelation by speaking in tongues. How many of you have increased your time in speaking in tongues? Now, he can't get up here and say that. I can. Because I understand something about speaking in tongues. When I was there, every creation of God literally had its own language. Did you hear what I just said? I came to understand that tongue that you have down here will be with you for eternity. You might as well get used to speaking it because that's what you're going to be speaking. You might as well speak it as much as you can because that's what you're going to be speaking. Nobody was speaking in English when I got there. I didn't hear no Spanish. No Korean, no German, no Italian, no French. Every creation of God had its own language. My wife challenged me on it. Ceci challenged me on it. They came to me and said, wait, in Corinthians, the 13th chapter, the 8th verse, it says tongues will cease. I went and did like a good person's supposed to do. I went to my pastor. And when I went to my pastor, I said, I experienced something there. And it seems like everybody's telling me it can't happen, but I know what I experienced when I was there. And he said, what is it? I said, tongues. You know, here in the scripture, it says that they cease. He laughed at me. He did. He went, ho, ho, you know, like it's common knowledge of what he getting ready to tell everybody. You know, you were there, Pastor John, on the eyewitness right there. You may not agree to it, but he was right there. I was like, and he says to me, that word cease comes from the word pause. He goes, he knows that Greek. You know how he knows that Greek. You know, he believes we all speak Greek. So he goes, you know. So he says, that word there, cease, comes from the word pause, and it really means take a different direction. It really means it's no longer your tongues. It's your language. And here he is, emphasizing on it over and over, speaking tongues more. To get the revelation of God into your spirit more. You know? My father literally wants to take us to a different level in teaching, but most of us are not there to be able to receive it, so he can't take us there.
Right.
As Pastor John would say, a lot of us think we're in high school and getting ready to graduate, and we're not even out of first grade yet. So he, and you may think you're in the 12th grade, and getting ready to graduate and get your gown on and your hat on and everything like that, getting ready to walk down and go through all the ceremony. You know what I'm talking about. And then God said, well, you're getting ready to graduate from first grade. I'm being honest with you. But I can guarantee you, if you start spending more time and speaking in tongues, you will raise the level of what God wants you to receive in this body much more than you understand. If you're not a part of this body, you start speaking in tongues, you will raise the level of wherever you're going to be able to receive what God wants you to have. So do I have to spend a lot of time? Let me tell you something about time. There's no time in heaven. Now, I used to get the questions, how old were you when you were there? How old is everybody when they were gone? Is everyone 33? I used to get those questions quite a bit. You know, because Jesus died at 33. That's the perfect age. It's not 21 like a lot of us think it is. According to the people that know, since Jesus died at 33, 33 is the age. So you want to stop at 33 and not move any farther because that's the perfect age. So everybody in heaven is 33. I mean, that's the questions I would get. And there's no time in heaven. So it's like, how do you know everybody's 33? Since there's no time, there's no measuring point. There's no way to tell how old anybody is because there's no time. That's earthly thinking. Heavenly thinking, there is no time. You know? And I said, well, if he's 33, he's the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end. He's the oldest 33 I ever know. But time. Some people say it takes a lot of time to speak in tongues. It takes a lot of effort to do it. I'm going to tell you right now, if you speak in tongues, you will save more time than you ever have. Because God literally will download inside of you answers and to questions that you have, or problems that are going on. You that are going through financial situations, you need a guide constantly. You need someone to tell you when to spend a dollar and not to spend a dollar. You need someone to tell you when to put a penny down and not put a penny down. You need to speak in tongues. Because you need to hear what the Holy Spirit is saying constantly. In these last 8 days, in this end of the age, as Jesus was downloading me about the end of the age, he said there's going to come a time when even us that know Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior will be deceived. We will be deceived because visual deception is taking over, you know. And then he said, but those that pray, that put time into prayer, they will not see from their eyes, they will see from their heart. Amen. Do you not think we need to see from our heart more than our eyes? Because visual deception is all around. That's what stimulates these kids so much into wanting so much. My grandsons, when they first got here, they were blessed by the Craigers in a number of areas. And I was thinking, the Lord, that God had, we had good friends like the Craigers to bless them like they have. All right? And then I talked to them, and my grandson said to me, I'm bored. I said, yesterday you just got blessed. He forgot about yesterday. It's today. You guys hear what I'm saying? His eyes didn't look back on yesterday. His eyes are looking on today. You know? But that's inside of them and inside of us, too. And the only way to get it out is to pray. Is to pray. I cannot express it more. And I'm not just saying pray just so you're understanding. I mean pray in tongues. This body, God is trying to move this body into a different area, into a different place. And the only way we're going to get there is if you start praying in tongues more. And some of you are going to say, well, I don't believe that. It doesn't matter whether you believe me or not. It's not going to get you into heaven. It's not going to keep you out. I'm letting you know that right now. You know. But the bottom line, I can guarantee you this. If you spend more time with your Father in your heavenly language, those situations you're going through will disappear. You know, I don't have the time to do it. You don't know my lifestyle. You don't know my kids. You put a time together. My grandsons know every morning they're going to see their grandpa pray. Do you understand? They know when grandma goes to put her time into praying, they don't bother her. And grandpa may only pray about 3 hours a day. Grandma's going to pray about 10 hours a day. I mean, you ain't getting fed sometimes. You hear me? You know, Misa, you know, you're her prayer partner. You know exactly. Those women go at it almost every Thursday, along with Sethi and Kelly. You know, they go at it. They put hours into praying in tongues. Now, why are you emphasizing tongues? Because it is your language. It is your language. God loves you so much. When I came to understand, He loved me so much. Not only did He prepare a place for me, that is my place. Not only is there a place for my voice to be there, but He gave me a language that is so much my language because He loves me so much. Your earthly thinking said, well, how am I going to understand everybody's language? I'm going to tell you right now, don't worry about it. You will. You will. Well, I want to know how. That's what's getting you in trouble. You're trying to figure out all the hows sometimes. How did God create the earth? Were you there? Oh, it sounds like Job, don't it? Were you there when I spread the clouds apart? Were you there when I did it? Were you there? Did you give me counsel on how to do it? That's what it comes down to. Do you know what the Father wants for us? It's much more than we could ever imagine. Ted and Autumn are going to Oklahoma. Whoa. I know some of you are saying that's something. My son is in Oklahoma praying that he get out. Am I right? You guys know what I'm talking about. They praying to get out of Oklahoma. They trying to get there. My son and them trying to get back here. You know? But to go on those type of endeavors, to go on those type of missions, to take that type of step, you got to be with Jesus. You know, they're going on what we call faith. And whenever we say it, it's like a smoke in the air. But faith is really just looking at Jesus and not taking your eyes off of Him. You hear what I just said? It's not something you cannot handle or hold on to. It is something you can. So when I looked at him, I said, you did this for me. Came to realize all that I'm speaking to you right now, he did for me. Guess what? He did it for you too. I thought I was going to get more into the testimony. I thought I was going to be able to share even deeper. But my Father said this morning, I've got what I want to say. And it must be you need to speak in tongues. Well, you didn't have it all written down. Ain't it in good chronological order? Aren't you going by step one, step two, step three? I'm going to tell you what step one is. Speak in tongues. Step two, speak in tongues. Step three, speak in tongues. You can write that down, okay? Okay, those three things do. Okay, can you repeat that? Okay, step one, speak in tongues. Step two, speak in tongues. Step three, speak in tongues. I know some of you didn't get step three, so I'll say it one more time. Speak in tongues. You know, because it is your language. That body that you're in will not go with you to heaven. But that language will. Whoa, grab it. Some of you this morning don't speak in tongues. Well, you need to come up here when we pray after and tell people, I want that. Whatever it is, I want it. You know, because I'm going to tell you something. It is your language. It is what's going to release you. You're going to be moving to a different area, and then you're going to see something happen to these men that are teaching in our church. Pastor and John and Lonnie and John. And I said Ted, but he's going to Oklahoma, so you'll have to just hear it on the reports. Okay? You will see them raise in the level of what God could give them to tell us. You guys hear me? You watch what happens. When I go places, I usually take questions. And people ask tons of questions. You know, they have never come close to many of the questions or the things that I experienced in heaven. They may have come close to maybe 1/8. That's all the questions cover, 1/8 of what I experienced. You know why? Because they don't know what else to ask. And someone says, well, Dean, that's pray in tongues. Watch what happens. You'll come up with questions and say things. When Pastor was teaching the other night about the talents, remember you were teaching about that? And the first one got so many, the second one, and the one got one. And you said, I know who I told my wife, I know who it is. I know what it is. Because Jesus already downloaded that for what it was. It was the Jewish people. You know? So I'm just letting you know, I got a crash course on it. I don't wish that you have the same crash course. Seriously, I want you all to go for one time and that's it. It is not a, and someone says it's a blessing to go to heaven and come back. And I always say, you don't know what you're talking about. You know, you're lucky you went to heaven and came back. I was blessed I went, coming back. No, you think you're all great people to live with. If you didn't know it, this planet got some problems. And going through that experience and coming back, I got to emphasize, hey, you guys got some problems here. I used to always say to my wife, you guys, she said, I'm tired of you saying you guys. Ain't you a part of this too? I said, no, I'm not part of this. There's some problems here. So coming back was not say I did it because I love my Lord Jesus Christ. I did it because he said I need you better, more there than here. But I'm telling you, I did not volunteer. I did not volunteer. I heard of one person that had the same experience as me and volunteered. And I said, man, they better check her mind. I'm serious. This is not heaven. This is not heaven, you guys. No matter what your flesh is trying to get you to believe, that you got to have it so comfortable on this planet, that you got to make life so easy on this planet, that you got to have all the amenities of America on this planet, it is not heaven. It is not heaven. No, I got to say it one more time. It is not heaven. You need to know that. No. So it was a blessing in going. And I am on my way back home. I'm on my way back home. But guess what? You're on your way home too, you that know Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. This is not your stopping ground. Is that good news or that good news? So I really believe what my Father wanted you to really to understand this morning more than anything else, and I got off the notes, is that speaking in tongues for many of you is what you need to do more of. You that don't speak in tongues, later on when we pray and we're up here ministering and you come up and you ask us and we will lead you in that area. And you will get it. How can you say that? Because I know my Father wants you to have it. As my pastor emphasized just the other night, Tuesday, at our corporate prayer time, which we had a lot of people there. Many of you showed up. Praise God. We spoke in tongues for how long? An hour. And if there were 70 people there, that was 70 hours. Do you hear me? So we spoke in tongues for an hour. And then after that, the Holy Spirit was moving. But Pastor said this, and he said it very clearly, and I say it too. He says this, if you ask anything according to his will, he hears you. And if he hears you, you have the request. That's found in 1 John, the 5th chapter, the 14th and 15th verse. If you ask anything according to his will, he hears you. He wants you to speak in that language. He wants you to speak in that language. Is that good news? We have all these shows about all these different heroes coming up in the movies and the TV programs and things like that. And they get all this power, supposedly, coming out of them. It's called special effects. Some of you need to know that. It's called special effects. It ain't really happening. Okay. And the kids really need to know it's not happening. Because they out here trying to do it. And I think about it. If they could only get plugged into Jesus Christ, the power that comes out of there ain't no special effects. It's the real thing. Here they are searching for the supernatural through TV and movies and the little figures and all that stuff. And here Jesus Christ said, I'll give you all the power you need. Just come to me. You know. And one of those is speaking in tongues. Did you hear me? It is no light thing. It is more powerful than you can ever imagine. Speaking in tongues. Father, I thank you. I know. Okay. I thank you. I thank you for this time that you've given me to speak to that body I belong to, the church that you have put me into, me and my wife, the family that we belong to. I thank you. I thank you, Father, that the guests that have come have gotten a word from you that not only will change their lives, but also change the body that they belong to. They will go back and do what you want them to do. And that is to use that language that was given to them, which is a powerful language, which is superhuman, to be able to achieve all that you want them to have, Father. I thank you, Father, right now that you will open up doors for each and every person in this room as they speak in that language to see into a realm that is not a temporal realm, but an eternal realm. I thank you, Father, that you will anoint the ministers that are here in this body and other places, that as we do what you want us to do, as we speak in the language that you've given us, that they will be able to even open up more knowledge and revelation knowledge from your words, so that we may be able to go forth and change the city as you have ordained us to. I thank you, Father. In your Son's name, Jesus, I pray. Amen. Done.